Hey, we're on a lesson this morning. I thought we might just do it for 1 week, but I think we're going to go 2 weeks about this thought. I think it's going to help you. It's definitely helping me in getting my thinking right, getting my understanding right continually, and coming back to the solid foundation of God's Word. Today, we want to talk about this thought. I was praying several weeks ago, and just through prayer, through reading Scripture, just a couple of these words popped out of my mind, and the Holy Spirit started talking to me at my house about this, and so I'm bringing it to you today, and we'll continue it next week. I want to talk to you about this thought, kingdom math. Come on, say that with me, kingdom math, kingdom math. Here's a couple of foundational things that we'll talk about as we jump into the Word of God. So here's what I want you to do. We're going to have a great cookout in the next couple of minutes. You might smell some wafts of hamburger coming in here, and I'm going to ask you, hold steady, because the Word of God will be better than a hamburger out there. Can I get an amen? Amen. I lost some of y'all right there. Can I get a better amen? Let's give a couple foundational thoughts before we get to the very end. What I want you to do is I want you to hold the tension until the end of the message, because really, I'm setting you up for a scripture, a bunch of scriptures in the book of Leviticus that you probably haven't read. Maybe some of y'all in the room have never read it, and for you that are Bible readers, you probably hadn't read it in a very, very long time, because who reads the book of Leviticus? Can I get an amen? Okay. Foundational thoughts. Number one, God's laws are above earth's laws. God made natural law, but God also made supernatural law. God made natural earth laws, gravity, that we see, that functions in this realm. But then we also know that God's made laws in himself that will supersede that law. When Jesus was raised from the dead, Jesus lifted off the earth, superseded natural law. We see time and time again where God will suspend natural law and override it with supernatural, or we could call it miraculous law. You need to understand this. We live in the realm of the natural, but as believers, we can also tap into a realm of the supernatural. Second thought of a foundation we need to understand is that God is never limited by what limits mankind. Everybody in the room, including me, I have a limited supply, I have a limited ability, I have a limited amount of whatever it is that I can do, but God's not limited. He's never limited. So you're never going to come as a child of God, as a believer, into a place where God cannot override something, work in something, change something, suspend something, tip something up on its head, tip something over on its feet. God can work in all kinds of ways. It's called kingdom math. Many in this, maybe you're in the room and you've been through some stuff and you've been, maybe you were believing and it didn't work out like you thought it should, or maybe you've been in a dry season and there's your eyes are a little bit blurry, they're a little bloodshot, and you don't know kind of sometimes which way's up. I'm here to tell you that God never thinks in a realm of it's impossible. Or that just can't work, that can't be changed, there's insufficiency that'll never be overcome, and this lack in your life will always be there. God thinks in ways of abundance. God thinks in ways of surplus. God thinks in ways of increase. God always thinks in ways of multiplication. And if you are going to tap into this God who is only good, who only has your best interest at heart, you must begin thinking in line with kingdom math. There's a guy in the Old Testament, his name's Gideon, and God came to this guy, and through a course of supernatural encounters, God showed him who he was, and God asked him to go out and face the enemy. And he gets an army together, and you look at what Gideon was putting together to try to face this army. He gets 32,000 guys together to go fight against this enemy. Gideon is on God's side, and the enemy's always coming against God's side. And so Gideon gathers all these guys together, and he thinks that God needs an abundance, that earth's math is if I'm going to fight all those guys, I've got to have at least that many guys, or I got to have more than that many guys. And so he gathers 32,000 people together, and God says, that's too many. That's too many. And so God says, what you need to ask him, Gideon, is anybody afraid? And any of you 32,000 warriors or fighters, are you afraid? If you're afraid, go home. 22,000 guys left. 22,000. He's left with 10. He's left with, or she's left with 12,000, or whatever what it is. And he's like, what am I going to do now? And God says, you know, Gideon, it's still too many. Still too many. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take them out of the water and watch how they drink water. The guys who get down and drink water like a dog, all of their face down, and they're just lapping up the water with their tongue, set them aside. But the guys who go on one knee and bring the water up in an alert position, mark those guys. I want to use those guys. There's only 300 of those brothers left. Everybody else goes home. And the Bible says with 300 men, anointed by God, called by God, chosen by God, and with God's help, they wiped out 135,000 of the enemy. Kingdom math. Kingdom math. Jesus said, you can't give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord that I won't repay you. The smallest thing in your life is the biggest thing with God. It's kingdom math. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Scripture says this, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. This is natural law. This is natural law. Cold and heat, right? Summer, winter, day and night. And also, he says, seed time and harvest. It's natural law. What we see from the scripture is that laws work for anyone who works the law. Laws work. They continually work. They'll work for anybody who works the law. You're not working summer and winter. You're not working night and day. Come on, you're not working this. You're not working this. But you do have the ability to work seed time and harvest. You have the ability to cooperate with God in seed time, planting time, and reaping time. There's certain things that God requires you to do if you're going to see his goodness in your life in a way that maybe you haven't seen it. He'll be good to all his children, listen to me, as good as he can. But there's things that God's placed into our hand that if we're going to see God work in us, among us, and through us, we have to cooperate with what he said. It doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your gender, it doesn't matter your race, it makes no difference what's going on, socioeconomic standing. If you cooperate with God's laws, you reap God's benefits. Can I get an amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus talking about this seed time principle. He wasn't going to just talk about and speak just concerning natural seed, although that's the implication. Jesus is really talking about the seed naturally, but really the seed spiritually. Jesus called the word of God seed. It'll work the same way as natural seed. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 4, verse 26. He said, the kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep night and day and sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. Look at this. He himself does not know how. Stop right there. You do not know. It doesn't need to come into your thinking how God's going to make that seed you plant in the ground grow. It's a Genesis principle. Every seed produces after its own kind. Seed time and harvest. God set the law on the earth. When I take a natural seed and I plant it in the soil, I'll water it, it will grow. It will produce fruit. God's speaking, Jesus is speaking the same thing concerning his word. If you'll take the word of God, you put it into the seed of your heart, you'll guard it, you'll water it with the washing of the water of the word, you'll keep speaking the word of God, you keep believing the word of God. You don't got to figure out how it's going to happen, when God's going to do something, how God's going to rearrange your situation around. You don't have to know how, but the seed will always work. It will always grow. Can I get an amen, everybody? It's going to produce. It will grow. You don't got to rise every dangle. Is it working? It's working, whether you see it or not. It's working, whether you see it or not. It's working, whether you feel it or not. Listen, it is working, and pretty soon you're going to start seeing something. Here's what you'll see. Verse 28, for the earth yields crops by itself. The earth will yield, physical earth will yield the physical seed you plant in it by itself. Your life, when you take the word of God and you put it in the soil of your heart, it will bring forth a yield in your heart. It will bring forth the change in you. It'll increase you. It'll speak to you. It'll give you wisdom. It'll give you direction. Your heart, listen to me, your heart will be replicated concerning what God's will and word is concerning you. As you take the word of God, it will grow. It doesn't grow to full manifestation overnight. It's a process. You've got to be steady in the process. He tells us the process. Verse 28. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then after that the full grain in the head. All of a sudden, I remember, you know, as a kid, we in Canada, we bought our house and we had this garden that we, I've told you before, we had to dig it all up and we planted it and cow manured it and the whole thing. And all, I'm not a farmer, never been a farmer, but taught a little bit from my dad. And so we got some seeds and we started putting tomatoes, we started putting potatoes, we started putting green beans, all these different lines, and we'd put these seeds in the ground, we'd cover them up, and we got the sprinkler out there, watered, and over time, all of a sudden, they just start sprouting up. Some come earlier than others. You can't get frustrated if something's working, then something's not working. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not working. It's working. Come on, somebody, it's working. Come on, the word's working. It's working. First the blade, then the ear, then the head, and then that full grain in the head. Then he says, verse 29, he says, when the grain ripens, immediately you put in the sickle. It's time for harvest. So you'll know when the harvest is. This is natural law, but Jesus isn't just speaking about a farmer in the scripture. He's talking about this natural application and bringing the spiritual application to it on how the word will work in your life. It's kingdom math. You can't figure it out. You don't got to sit up all night going, how's God going to do this? I'm worried about this. I prayed about this and I don't see anything yet. The word is working. Come on. The word is working. Psalm says it's vain for you to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrow. Listen to me. If you prayed about it, go to sleep. The word's working. Yeah, it's working. It's working. John 12, verse 24. Again, Jesus used this analogy consistently. He's talking in John 12, 24 about himself, but notice what it says concerning seed or a grain of wheat. John 12, 24. Most assuredly, Jesus speaking, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Again, if you're reading that at surface level, you're thinking Jesus is really, he's a horticulturist, he's an agriculturist, he's in the day thousands of years ago, everybody lived off the land. Jesus is just concerned about you having enough food in your stomach, and he's trying to tell you, no, he's using the natural illustration to bring a supernatural explanation. And he says, the seed, the grain of wheat, if it falls in the ground, he's speaking of his own life. And I die, I would remain alone. But that's not the way it's going to be. I'm going to give my life for you, and it's going to produce much grain that's going to be multiplied. Millions and millions and billions of believers on the earth because of my life. But the application for you and for me that we can take our life here as well. We can take our life. And here's the thought, is that if you'll give your life away, if you'll give your life away in serving God's kingdom, you will multiply. Just like Jesus was multiplied in the lives of us and the billions of people around the earth that are serving him and have served him. That if you will let your life die to self, If you will let your life die to your own ambition, if you will let your life die to your own way and own wants and own desires, then what you're going to see is you're going to see your life multiply. What does that mean? You're going to realize the purpose of why you're here. You're going to realize fulfillment. You're going to realize I can have peace in the midst of storms. You're going to realize God's provision that maybe you haven't until now. Listen to me. It all begins when you understand the power of His life in your life and the kingdom math that it will open up to you, that you're never limited. It's never over. Come on, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Come on, everybody. Come on. Come on. The scripture says when the prophet was with his servant Gehazi, and he goes out to the servant goes out from the prophet's tent, and he goes, "Dear God, prophet, the whole surrounding mountains are filled with the enemies. They're coming to get us." And the prophet said, "Lord, open up his eyes. Open up his eyes. Open up his eyes." And Gehazi's eyes were opened, and he saw in the beyond the mountains, in the heavens all around it, the armies of God ready to fight and defend them. Listen to me. There's more for you than are against you. Heaven is closer than you think. The minute you pray, listen to me, you are accessing the very throne of God. The very minute you pray, heaven's coming to your help. The minute you plant seed in anything, the minute you speak, the minute you declare blessing, the minute you declare God's peace and provision, listen, things are going to bear. Things are working. Listen, your life can be multiplied. Your life can be different than it is right now as you keep pressing in with the word and pressing out of things of the flesh in your own life. All four Gospels, I find this interesting. The Gospels, by the way, if you don't know, are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four Gospels declare this same parable, not really a parable, the same story that happened to Jesus and was around with the disciples. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Come on, y'all remember that? The feeding of the 5,000. It's an interesting story. We'll just pick up this one part of it in John chapter 6. Jesus, everywhere Jesus went, there was huge crowds, multitude of people. And Jesus, this account, Jesus actually fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Then there's another account that Jesus fed 4,000 men plus women and children. But here's what it says in John 6, verse 5 through 7, New Living Translation. Check this out. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, Philip is one of his disciples, he said, "Where can we?" Come on, everybody yell, "We."
We.
Come on, that's about half of you. One more time.
We.
"Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" Come on, if I'm talking to you, where can we go do this? How are we going to get this situation rectified? We means me and you. Come on, we means me and you. We doesn't mean you, and we doesn't mean me. We means we. Come on. I majored in English, could you tell? We means Jesus is going to get involved. I'm going to get involved. Now, if you're ever with Jesus and Jesus said, "We need to do something," I would probably stop and go, "What you mean by we? Are you involved with this?" Which he would say, "Yes." This is what he's saying. He looks to Philip. He says, "We got a situation. There's all kind of people. We got multitudes. They've been hearing me speak the word of God. The hungry, the tired. What are we going to do to feed all these people?" Verse 6, check it out. Underline it, mark it, write it, get a tattoo, put it on the back of your neck so y'all can read it. He was testing Philip. Come on, say testing.
Testing.
He already knew what he was going to do. Come on, somebody. John 6:6, he was testing Philip because he already knew what he was going to do. There's situations you and I face in life every single day that Jesus has already got to figure it out. He's just looking for somebody to show himself strong and mighty in behalf of. He knows what he's going to do. He knows what he wants to do. And he's just looking for a brother, a sister, a teenager, a young adult. A single mom, a single dad. He's just looking for somebody who's in the valley or on top of the mountain that's just going to believe God with him. When he says we, I'm going to say, "That's me." Yeah. Thank you for all that golf clap. I really appreciate it for everybody. I'm kidding. Look at this. Philip says this, verse 7. Philip replies, this is what we probably, a lot of us, right? Philip says, "Even if we work for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. You know, one translation says 200 denarii isn't enough to feed them. A denarii in that time was equivalent to a day's wage, a day's wage. Even if we had 200 days' wages, let's just figure this out. Let's go crazy. Let's just say a day's wage is $100. Let's just say that for working, $100. And so he says, $20,000. Come on, you know, or is that 20,000? 200 times 100? 20,000? Is that right? Come on, somebody. Come on, math people. Help a brother out. You left me going. Yeah, it's $20,000. $20,000 isn't enough to feed all this multitude. It's not enough. So no matter what you have sometimes, it's still not enough. No matter what it is. So you know what Jesus said? One of the guys said, there's actually a boy here. There's actually a boy here. Insignificant, seemingly. And he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And we don't know the story. We don't know if one of those, you know, like Peter. Come on, Peter was kind of nasty sometimes. Peter cut off that high priest's ear, and Peter was, you know, always running his mouth a little bit. Peter might have come up and said, you see that dude over there with a lunch, the little kid? Take the lunch from him. Come on, he was a bully. Come on, somebody. How many, you know, I don't know if the kid gave it. We don't know if he gave it willingly or they just man-armed it from him. But they found 5 loaves and 2 fish. Interesting side note, if you're ever going to get anything multiplied, you got to get something to multiply. I want to harvest. I had not planted no seed. You got no harvest. I need peace in my life. Well, are you even reading scriptures about peace? Are you speaking peace over your mind? Oh, you want to harvest where you planted no seed? Kingdom math doesn't work that way. Kingdom math is always revolving around seed. Seed, the seed of the word of God. And so they find this boy, he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Come on, we've heard this. If you've been in church, you've heard this since you were in kids ministry or you know, downstairs with our kids. We teach the story. But we find, I think, 4 things that Jesus did here that are so simplistic that, again, reminding yourself of them is going to help you. Number one, what we find out is that Jesus took that 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and the scripture says Jesus looked up. Jesus looked up. Jesus looked up. If Jesus looked up to change his perspective, to change his view, to change his attention, to change his focus, you're going to need to look up. You're going to get a change of attention, a change of focus, a change of perspective, and look to God. When I stand and I look let's just call it 5,000 men plus women and children, let's just call it bottom figure. Let's call it 20,000 people. That's a lot of people. And I look around and I go, I've already told Philip and I've already told the disciples, what have we got? And that I'm going to get involved in this miracle. And now I'm looking out. Anybody ever said something and then you kind of went, what did I just say? I promised to do something. And you go, what did I just promise? Jesus isn't going to go back in his word because, come on, he is the living word. And every word of God that he says, it's impossible for it not to come to pass. So this is going to come to pass. And so Jesus looks at the situation, but he doesn't stay with his eyes fixed on the situation. The scripture says he looks up. He looks up. Secondly, what we find out is that Jesus blessed the bread. He blessed the bread. I think that this is important because I think that so many of us are thinking, I'll bless it when it increases. I'll bless it when I have more than what I see right now. I'll bless it when I actually feel better about myself from whatever I'm dealing with. No, no. You got to bless it right now. You got to bless the little that you have right now and watch God work in the middle of you. So what's a blessing? You know, prayer, thanksgiving, confession of who God is, taking the scriptures and say, you declare a provider of life, you're my healer, you're my joy, you're my right standing with the Father, you're my forgiver, you're my baptizer. Or you're finding scriptures that deal with your situation where it looks like lack's coming in or confusion's coming in or worry's coming in or no peace is coming in. You take the word of God, you get your eyes off your situation, you look up, and you bless. You bless where you're at right now. You bless the word of God right now. You bless God right now. The scripture then says this: he took that bread and he broke it. Of course, symbolically, this is a beautiful kind of picture coming up in a few months with Jesus giving his life on the cross. He blessed it. He broke it. He broke it. He broke the bread. Somebody said this, really the behind the scenes is this, is that you consider what you have is not enough. This isn't five loaves and two fish. It's impossible for this to feed a multitude. But I'm looking up. I'm blessing what I have. I'm going to break the hold of this over me and over them. And I'm going to ask you to use my life. I'm going to consider what I have is not enough. I need you. I need you. I've come in too many times, and I've come and I said, Lord, I'm working on Gary math. I'm working on natural math. I got my thing. I've got my little notebook here like I do, maybe you do, and I'm figuring out stuff and I'm looking at stuff like when Kimber and I were dating and I proposed to her and we're going to get married. And so I sat down with my legal pad and I said, okay, I was taught this way by my mom and dad. We got to live on a budget. We can't be stupid. You know, we tithe and we trust God, but let's look at where we're at. And I put on one side of the page, I put Gary and I put bills, and it was no bills. And then I came over here and I put Kimberly, and I ran out of ink. Come on, somebody. I just ran out of ink. It's true. She had credit cards on credit cards. Come on, somebody. She was paying interest. She had car notes, and she had lipstick notes, and she had makeup notes, and she had shoe notes. And come on, anybody remember? Come on, anybody old like me, you remember layaway? Come on, anybody remember layaway? Come on, get out some layaway folks in the room. Every week you go down and put $5 on that thing. And then by the time you got it out of layaway, it was already old. Come on, somebody. And you're like going, them shoes, them heels, they're done. Come on, baggy pants aren't in no more. Come on, laid it away too long. You broke it. I consider what I have is not enough. I need God's help. I don't know about you, but I look at house prices right now and I go, I need God's help. I look at car prices and I say, I need God's help. I go to the grocery store and I said, I bind the devil. I need God's help. I'm tired of eating ramen. I need God's help. Come on. Ramen was good in college and ain't good no more for a brother. Come on, somebody. I'm just saying we need God's help. Come on. We need God's help. We need God's help. And he's ready to help. Come on. He's ready to help. Yeah. So break it. I break that bread. Break. I consider what I have is not enough. I need you. But then it didn't end there. Jesus could have fed all those brothers, those hungry brothers, his disciples. But it's not about him and them. Scripture says he gave it. He gave it. Listen to me. Multiplication happens when you give what you have. There can be no multiplication unless I plant the seed. There can be no multiplication unless I cooperate with what God said. And the scripture then says everybody ate, all those 5,000 men plus women and children, everybody ate. And not only they ate, the scripture says they were all filled. And then they gathered up 12 baskets left over. Listen to me, kingdom math, five loaves and two fish doesn't just feed a few people. Five loaves and two fish feed a multitude. It's kingdom math. Jesus said in John 6:38, give. One word you do, one word I do, give, and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. How's that? Increase at work, job, some extra hours, increase, favor. All of a sudden, you know, you get a rebate on something, you get something, God just starts working. Somebody leaves you some money, come on somebody. You don't got to go roll somebody, go steal cars. You don't got to go see, you know, go be a mule. You don't got to go do drugs and kind of work for somebody else. No. I'm going to work some kingdom stuff right here. I'm going to get God involved in me right now. And it's going to run over my bosom. Because he said, the same way I measure, the same way that's measured to me, it's going to be measured back. Whatever I measure out, if I give a spoonful, it's going to be measured back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over spoonful. If I give a shovel, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over shovel. If I give a dump truck, good measure, pressed down, shaken. I want to keep increasing. I want to keep increasing. I would encourage you to keep increasing, because the kingdom math you've seen isn't the end of God's supply. There's always more. Old Testament, Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance, your possessions, and the first fruits of all your increase. Speaks of tithing. So your barns, you do that. So what's going to happen? Your barns, your savings accounts, your checking account, your investment account, your 401k. Come on, your whatever you got, your IRA, whatever you got, it's going to be filled with plenty. And your vats, your life, your increase, your storehouse will overflow with new wine. The scripture says, when you honor the Lord with your possessions. All this belongs to you. This substance I have, it belongs to you. I'm going to honor you with it. Give me wisdom on how to manage it. Am I living beyond my means? Do my beady little greedy eyes constantly want stuff, Lord God? And I'm asking you that. I'm asking God that. And I hope you are too. It's kind of like, Lord, I don't want to buy nothing. I don't want to purchase nothing. I don't want to have nothing. That's not what you want for me. I know we said earlier, God's going to give me richly all things to enjoy, but I want to be a good steward over it. If I can't manage it, if it's going to give pride in my life, if I'm going to, like I told you before, when I was a kid and I got a car, and in fact, it's too long a story, but my brother gave me a car. It was a brand new 1983 Saab 900, red, cool. I mean, it was cool, supernatural deal. He gave it to me. He's a business guy. And anyway, and so I was in that car. It was given to me. It was a gift. And yet my heart wasn't right, because I came down to this one place and I had my arm out the window and I had a lean on me. Come on, somebody. And I was looking around at everybody else like, oh, look at that little rusted car over there. And while I was saying that, my heart was smitten and it was like, you dude, I gave that to you. You couldn't afford it. You couldn't pay for it. My goodness. So get that stuff out of your heart. And there's been many, many times like that in my life. Many, many times. I'm telling you. Sorrowfully before God. Where eyes of judgment towards somebody. Listen to me. I want to honor the Lord with the substance I have. Everything I have came from you. I want to cooperate with you. And I want to get you involved in my life. So barns would be filled with plenty. Not just for me. But I can keep being generous and give to other people and help people. Come on, anybody with a heart like that? Come on, I know you do. We got an amazing church. Check this out. Proverbs, right with us. Come on, we're almost done this morning. Proverbs 11:24. There's one that scatters. Come on, one that scatters yet increases. One that takes seed and scatters and yet increases. How can you take seed that you need for your food? And you need to make meal with it. You need to make tortillas with it. That's what he's talking about. How can you take that and then give it away and scatter it and it brings increase? That doesn't happen. Yet it does with kingdom math. There's one who scatters and increases more. But there's also somebody who withholds more than right, and it leads to poverty. It leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich. He who waters other people will be watered. I want to help somebody else. I guess a little bit extra, I can help. I'm not going to take away from my family, but my family, I'm just telling y'all, we got enough family. We're going to be a blessing. We're going to support missionary. We're going to give money over here. We're going to support that mom over there. I'm going to get you involved and let you know this is what we're doing. So we're not buying shoes right now. We're not going to take a vacation right now. We're going to bless them because they need it more than we need it. Scripture says, if you scatter, you're going to increase more. But if you withhold more than is right. And that's between you and God, not between me, you, and God, or anybody else. That's between you and God. It will lead to poverty. So somebody says, maybe poverty comes from you having money you shouldn't have. And that's the money that should have been going to God. Let's judge and look at our own hearts. Last group of scriptures, Leviticus 25. I told you we're going to get there. Here it is. Y'all ready? Come on, how about y'all in the back? Y'all ready? Yeah. Leviticus 25, Old Testament scripture, phenomenal bunch of scriptures. Listen to this, read them. We'll take some, make some comments as we go in closing. Leviticus 25, the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, and he says this, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land, he says, that I'm giving to you, then the land, you shall keep the Sabbath to the Lord. Keep a Sabbath. We'll talk about that. The Sabbath means rest. Keep a rest to the Lord. Verse 3, 6 years you sow in your field. Plant the seed for 6 years. 6 years prune your vineyard and gather the fruit. Verse 4, but in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest of the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of its own accord of your harvest, you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it is a year of rest for the land. You come to the land, 6 years, get busy. Plow the ground, plant the ground, let the rain water the ground, harvest the ground. Seventh year, it's a year, not a day, not a week, it's a year, not a month, it's a year of Sabbath rest. We're going to let the land rest. Verse 6-7. The land will have a year of rest, but you will still have enough food. There will be enough food for your men and your women servants. There will be food for your hired workers and the foreigners living in your country. And there will be enough food for your cattle and other animals to eat. When you come to the land, do what I've called you to do for 6 years. The seventh year, pump the brakes, pump the brakes. Nobody plants, nobody reaps. Not for yourself, your family, not for the people you've hired, not for the foreigner, not even for your animals. Verse 18. If you want to live securely in the land, follow my decrees and obey my regulations. You want it to be well with you? You want to live in the kingdom math and not the natural math? Follow my decrees, listen, and obey my regulations. Verse 19, then the land will yield large crops, and you will eat and your fill and live securely in it. So here's the question they're asking. Verse 20. But you might ask, what are we going to eat during the seventh year? That year of Sabbath. We haven't been allowed to plant or harvest crops that year. Be assured that I will send, God talking, I will send my blessing for you in the sixth year, so that the land will produce a crop large enough for 3 years. When you plant your fields in the eighth year, you will still be eating from the large crop of the sixth year. In fact, you will still be eating from that large crop when the new crop is harvested in the ninth year. Can anybody in the room say, my Lord and my God? Come on. God says, if you'll cooperate with me, I've set natural law on the earth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, night and day. But if you will cooperate with me and believe what I've said in my word, my law, kingdom math, will supersede natural law and earthly math, even though I've set it in the earth. If you will let the land rest, he tells them, this year of Sabbath, don't sow, don't plant, leave it alone. I'm going to cause the increase that you had in that sixth year to carry with you for the seventh year, the eighth year when you start planting again, and it will be there when you start harvesting in the ninth year. God will work miracles in your life. Listen to me. If you and I will follow God, I am convinced He will do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all you can ask or think. He will do things for you that just don't make sense. Other people look around saying, how did you get that? The favor got work, and they might get a little agitated with you because you've only been there for 4 months and you got the bonus, you got the raise, and they might be mad at you, and you just say, it's the favor of the Lord. Come on, somebody. It's the hand of God. It's the favor of the Lord. God commits himself to taking care of you. So listen to me. In closing, summarizing Leviticus, listen, kingdom math requires faith. It requires faith. You've got to believe this. You've got to be persuaded of this. You've got to be convinced of this so that you then cooperate with it. You kingdom math requires faith. I got to believe this. I've got to believe what you said. If you're not convinced yet, keep reading the Word of God. Let God change your thinking. Let God change your eyes. Start hearing testimonies. Get around some people in the church that they've had miraculous provision or whatever it is in their life that you say, I need that in my life. I'm deficient in that in my life. Come on, tell me a story. Tell me how God showed up for you. And it will begin being so. You start seeing faith rise up in your heart concerning the Word of God. Kingdom math requires faith. Secondly, kingdom math requires obedience. Obedience. I actually got to do this. Doing it releases the power of it. I've got to cooperate with God. I've got to plant the seed. I've got to believe God. I've got to start serving if I'm going to see my life multiplied like Jesus said in John chapter 12. I've got to start giving. I've got to start being generous if I'm going to see the provision in my own life increase. If I want to see the scattering that I do bring increase in my life, or if I'm holding on too tightly, maybe that's where the poverty's come from. Maybe it's not because I don't have that education, that degree. Maybe I'm just too tight-fisted. Maybe I'm loving me too much and not loving what God loves. Just some questions you got to ask yourself. Kingdom math requires obedience. And listen to me. What we found out all morning is that obedience unlocks God's abundance. It just unlocks God's abundance. It unlocks God's abundance. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It takes faith. I gotta trust you. I gotta take that seed. I want to eat the seed. I want to eat it. I want to eat this stuff, but I'm gonna plant it because I believe a harvest is coming. I want to give it when I could use it. I could use it, but I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna be generous because I'm gonna trust your word. Obedience unlocks God's abundance. Come on, bow your head, close your eyes. Would you do that? All over the room. Father God, I pray for every person in the room today. I pray, Lord God, that the seed of the Word of God as we spoke today will fall on good ears, good soil of their heart, and will yield a harvest. The Word of God, it'll produce a mighty, mighty return. Father, I pray for increase in every area of our lives. Our lives, our children, our grandchildren. Lord God, not for us to consume, but for us to let the blessing of God plaster it. I pray there will be an overflow of the Word of God producing a mighty harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold in us and through us, O God, to a lost and dying world. Lord God, as Jesus, as you laid down your life and you said your life was like a grain of wheat and you went in the ground and you died, you gave up your physical life, but you didn't stay there. It produced a mighty harvest. So, Father, I pray that continually in our life and our church, we'll look for ways of serving people all around us in this facility, in this church at Spectrum, and to a lost and dying world all around us. Let people see a resurrected Jesus Christ. Father, we're going to look up like Jesus did. We're going to take the bread we have, just the 5 loaves, the 2 fish. We're going to look up. We're going to get our eyes off what we see right now. We're going to get our eyes off the natural. And we're going to look up. We're going to bless what we have. Thank you for what we have. Thank you for what we have. And we're going to break the hold of it. We're going to consider what we have is not enough. The vision you have for us, what you want us to do in supporting the work of God here at the church and missions and outreaches and all kinds of things that you put on each of our hearts to bless our family, to bless the kingdom of God, to help the poor, the needy. Lord God, we break the hold of that over our life. And Father, we just give it. We plant it. We give it. And we just thank you that you're in charge of the return. You're in charge of how much comes back, but we're saying we're giving it with a loyal heart, not a divided heart, but an undivided heart to you. We want to be connected with your heart for your kingdom. And we just thank you for the increase. We thank you for the increase in Jesus' name. Come on, anybody agree with that? Say amen. Come on, amen, amen. Yeah, stand up, everybody. Would you do that? You've been sitting for a minute. Come on. Come on. All over the room. Come on. God's working. God's softening hearts. God's the rain of the Spirit. The rain of the Spirit. God's move. God's Spirit softens our heart to whatever His will and His purpose is. His plan, His desire, His design. And all of the room, listen to me. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's your first step into God's kingdom and His way. Heaven opens up. You start hearing things and seeing things and understanding things that might be closed into you right now. But as you give your life to Him, listen to me, you'll start seeing all of His goodness and His favor. You'll start seeing things that work for you that haven't worked up until now. It begins with a prayer and a life of surrender that's just directed toward Him. So while your eyes are open, your heads are up, we say this many times, you know, bow your eyes, close your eyes, and bow your head. But let's today just do something a little different. You're looking at me. We're all here together. Listen, whether you feel like this might be embarrassing, I've been here. I've been around. Many in the room have been there. Where you just said, I just need Jesus. I just need to surrender my life to Jesus. I'm tired of doing my own thing, going my own way. I just want Jesus. You don't need to be ashamed or embarrassed. No one's going to think in this room anything different than you than just somebody that's saying, I want God in my life. I'm tired of running, tired of trying to figure it out, tired of doing my own thing. I want God. And if you want me, which He does, then I'm asking you to come into my life. And He's going to take you right where you're at, and He's going to change you. He's going to rearrange some things. He's going to take things out, and He's going to put things in. First thing He's going to do is He's going to put a new nature on the inside of you. He's going to change your want to. I really want to. I might struggle sometimes. I might fall, trip, which you're gonna. But I want to do what you want me to do. He changes our want to. So if you're in the room and you don't know Jesus, come on, I count to three. Just by you lifting your hand, say, "That's pray for me." We're all gonna say a prayer out loud. But you're meaning it. The faith you give to Him, He's gonna come and He's gonna reside in you. So all over the room. You've never prayed that prayer. You prayed that prayer. You want to today. Come on, count to three. Raise your hand. Come on. One, two, three. All over the room. Lift your hand. That's me. Come on. Pray for me. Awesome. 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 Thank you. Back over there. Thank you. You too. Anybody back in the back? I can't see on the back of the back. Two or three? Okay. Cool. Great. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. We can clap right now before we even pray. Come on. Thank you for your boldness. Yeah. Way to go. Way to go. We're going to say a prayer out loud. Listen to me. A prayer will only reach heaven if you mix faith with it. I believe what I'm saying and I'm asking you. So we're going to help you today. We're going to pray it out loud. You that raised your hand, you pray out loud. Come on. Say it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in Jesus' name. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. Be my Lord, be my Savior forever and ever. I repent, I change my mind, and I change my direction. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, clap everybody. Come on everybody right now. Something's going on right now. Something's going on. Come on, everybody. The scripture says angels in heaven are rejoicing. Listen, if you're here and you've never connected with us on a connection card, why don't you fill that out right there next to you? There's probably a connection card. Let us know that decision that you made today. We've got some resources we want to give to you. We don't want you just praying a prayer.